Monday, April 29th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at the sports world whenever it is possible. Happy Monday to you, and I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. Number of things to watch in sports over the weekend. We're going to be talking about a number of those things. But you know, you might not realize it today. Today is actually a significant day in sports history because it was on April 29th, back in 1961, that ABC premiered a show by the name of The Wide World of Sports.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Now, maybe you're too young to remember The Wide World of Sports. Let me break this down for you. It was on Saturday afternoons, and this was prior to cable. So there was literally nothing else on. You had like two or three other options. You had like a rerun of, I don't know, The Addams Family. You had some PBS programming and like a showing of The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. That was it. You didn't have anything to watch. It wasn't like you said, oh, I'm just going to watch this game. I'm just going to watch that game. Oh, I'll watch college hoops. Oh, I'll watch the NBA. No. You didn't get any of those things. There was literally nothing on. But then you had The Wide World of Sports come on and you didn't know exactly what you were going to get. You had no idea what was going to come on, but you were going to get something and it might be really good and it might be really weird. You might get a heavyweight title fight. Like you might get to see the biggest fight in the world on The Wide World of Sports. You never knew. It might be on there. You might get, I don't know, cliff diving from Acapulco. You might get the Iditarod. You could see the Harlem Globetrotters playing basketball against the Washington Generals at the White House. Or you might have a ski jumping competition in Lake Placid. Maybe you were watching a female biathlon in Sweden. You just didn't have a clue what was going to be on, but you were going to get something. And on Saturday afternoons, you were going to watch because you had nothing else to watch. So you settled in for a few hours and I don't know, maybe you watched motorcycle racing with spikes on the tires and they were racing on ice on a lake in Bulgaria. Because what else did you have to do? It was a simpler time. You just turned on The Wide World of Sports and you watched whatever came on. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite sports event to watch on The Wide World of Sports. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be Wide World of Sports related. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a specific question about your team or about your draft or about a specific sports story. Reach out to us. We will always get you an answer and we just might end up using it on the show. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com where you can find our Daily Dose gear over there. Just go to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose and scroll down until you see our Daily Dose logo. There you are going to find a number of items from hoodies to sweatshirts to t-shirts. You can get them in any color you want. You can get our standard Daily Dose logo. You can get our Daily Dose I-Team logo if you want to look like the pros that are out in the field searching down unique sports stories. Make sure you get some of that Daily Dose I-Team gear. But we've also got cell phone covers, laptop covers, stickers, a number of Daily Dose items for you over at tpublic.com. Make sure you stop by over there. Hey, today on the show, we are actually going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show. And I will go ahead and throw this in there. A member of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, because Big Rob is going to be here to talk all things sports with us. You know, I wanted to kind of recap the weekend in sports. Maybe talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. And eventually, I want to get to the NFL draft and maybe take a look at what all transpired there. We saw some interesting moves in the NFL draft. I know it is way too early to be handing out grades on the NFL draft. But you know what? We're going to do it anyways, because I don't care. We're going to hand out some way too early grades on the NFL draft because we can, and we are going to get to all of those things right after this. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right, your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises, but if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. Joining us right now, we have a longtime friend of the show, a member of the Daily Dose I team. Big Rob is here to talk all things sports with us. Rob, I wanted to recap the weekend in sports, maybe talk some NBA playoffs, get to that NFL draft and kind of break down. We're going to hand out some grades for the NFL draft. And I know it's too early and we really need to see these players develop and all those things. But you know what? I don't care, because we're going to hand out grades anyways, because we need to grade how these NFL teams did, because not all of them did that well. But thank you for coming back. We always enjoy your visits to the Dose.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Always a pleasure.
Rob, you have been here since the beginning. I don't know how we've managed to bribe you to stick around from the beginning, but we always have a number of things to talk about when you come in. But I think one of the first things that we need to get to, the most important thing we're probably going to cover on the show today, is the scandal that you were caught up in with former Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge winner Erica St. James. Erica says you have taken way too much credit for her March Madness bracket picks. She says she did it herself. Can you please clear up the conspiracy that is going on here for us?
Well, like I've said, my stories remain the same. I know she's kind of flip-flop back and forth, but I've been consistent with my story in that I did help her.
Yeah.
Coach her through her brackets each year.
Right.
I mean, most of the credit should clearly go to me. I think she would agree. She's being honest with herself. But yeah, my stance remains the same.
Not changing a thing. No sort of waffling, no sort of flip-flopping here.
Consistent since the beginning.
Always the same story. It has not changed. Erica, hey, I want you to know we love you. We just aren't that respectful of the picks that you made. We think that someone else made them for you. But that doesn't mean we don't like you. We still, you know, appreciate you and want you to come in and do a March Madness bracket every year. Just don't always know that it's your picks. We just know kind of how these things go. Okay, let's jump into a number of stories that did come out over the weekend before we get to the NFL draft. And Rob, one of the things that we're going to talk about that we probably have no business talking about, but we're going to do it anyways. The Johnson County District Attorney's Office has reopened its criminal case into Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. That is what head coach Andy Reid said in a news conference over the weekend. They are saying the decision to reopen this investigation into Hill and his fiance is coming now because there was audio released on KCTV in Kansas City where the fiance apparently is accusing Hill of abusing their 3-year-old son. And if you heard the audio, it is some disturbing things. After the release of the audio on Thursday, the Chiefs announced Hill has now been barred indefinitely from all team activities. Now, I know we're probably going to hear the players union pushing back on all these things, but what in the world do the Chiefs do? This is a nasty, ugly situation for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, it's another bad situation for them. And I didn't like how they handled it. Again, it seems like they're just kind of trying to push it back and, you know, just kind of, you know, hoping it goes away. Like, I don't feel like they really directly addressed it. And like I said, this is something that, you know, clearly isn't going to go away. It probably should have took, you know, more immediate action, you know, as soon as it came out. But it seems like they're just trying to slow play it. And you know, I don't think that's going to help in the long run.
No, I don't either. And we saw this situation with Kareem Hunt last year. And their reaction to that was that we don't deal with this. We don't allow this. We don't tolerate this. And you're gone. And now we're kind of seeing the Chiefs go, well, we're going to kind of wait and see. Let's kind of see where this ends up. We kind of, let's not do anything rash. Let's not make any sudden moves. But you're kind of going, wait a second. I thought you guys already set a precedent here.
Yeah, like you said, you shouldn't be, you know, like I said, they're trying to, you know, slow play it and, you know, and feels like in the hopes that it'll go away and it's not as big of a deal. But like you said, I think, you know, they basically should have addressed it, you know, the same way that they did, the Kareem Hunt. And even if you want to wait until the details come out, I mean, you want to take, or you should, you know, take a stand immediately, you know, just like they did with the Kareem Hunt. And then if you need to, you know, backpedal after that or, you know, want some more details come out, then you can go that way. But, you know, I think they're doing it the exact opposite, trying to slow play it in the beginning.
Well, and the crazy thing now is this is a police situation. This isn't even an NFL thing. This isn't the Chiefs thing. I know you're going to have the players union come out and say, well, hey, you can't do this and you can't do that. I think the Chiefs are going to be going, this isn't even us at this point. We've got to wait for the police situation to kind of run its course and then figure out where we go from there. The disturbing part about this whole thing, though, this isn't the first time Tyreek has had this issue. Nope. He beat up his girlfriend in college and got kicked out of Oklahoma State for it. So there has been a history already. But it's okay as long as you've been productive and the Kansas City Chiefs kind of look the side, you know, with that stuff. I don't know. This is an ugly situation. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, not going anywhere. And like I said, probably get worse.
Do you think he gets put on that commissioner's exempt list or what do you do with him?
I think so. Ultimately, like I said, I think they're going to try to, you know, drag it out a little bit. It is in the off season. So, you know, there is a chance maybe, you know, it gets sorted out before the season starts. But yeah, I think ultimately that's where he's going to end up, same way, you know, just like Kareem Hunt did.
Yeah. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs coming off last year have to be so excited about where they're going and what they're doing and went to the AFC Championship, had a chance to win the thing. We are on the rise. We've got a good young quarterback. We've got good young surrounding talent. Mahomes might have more weapons than anyone else in the league. And you may have already lost two of them now.
Right.
With Hunt gone and whatever happens here with Hill. We'll see what the Chiefs do. One other story that did come out this weekend in the NFL was that Sebastian Janikowski has apparently retired. He's with the Seahawks now, I believe. He was with Seattle. He had left the Raiders and had gone to Seattle. So as a Seattle Seahawk, he has now retired. Rob, did you have any idea Sebastian Janikowski was still in the league?
I did not. I thought he retired a couple years ago.
I did too. And then here's the confusing part. Because if you've ever been like, maybe you're walking through a mall and you see a guy and you're like, oh, that he used to be an NFL player. I saw Janikowski and just assumed based on what he looked like, well, he's not playing anymore. He looked like he ate a guy that used to play in the league. So I just assumed he's not in the league, but apparently he was in the league and he has now announced his retirement. What do you remember about Sebastian Janikowski? What's going to be like your lasting memory of him as a player?
Oh. Well, still with the Raiders. I mean, like I said, yeah. I guess he was with Seattle, apparently.
Who knew?
Yeah, just like I said, longtime Raider. I think he was a lefty, right?
I think so. He had a huge leg, mm-hmm. Giant leg.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just like I said, just some of those Raiders games, just long, you know, long kicks, 50. I think he had a couple big ones.
60s and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but always, like I said, just he's a Raider in my head.
Yeah, and just drunk and drugging people, just kicking the ball. Didn't know where the ball was going to go, but he'd just go out and kick it and it'd go a long ways. Might go in, might not go in. He didn't really care. Going out and getting some roofies and partying it up in his spare time. That's what I'm going to remember from Sebastian Janikowski. My memory might be different than others. Okay, Rob, let's jump into some big things because we did have the NBA playoffs going this weekend and we have some very, very interesting series. Let's start off in the Western Conference because usually we don't, but we're going to start off in the West. For the past 2-3 years, I have heard people pointing at the Golden State Warriors. And saying that is a flawed team. And I just look at that and I say, there's no way. That team is still better than everyone else. Last year got a lot closer than I thought it was against Houston. Houston came out and gave them all they wanted, kind of had to squeak out a win there. Now we are hearing those same things. Golden State might be vulnerable. Boogie Cousins is out. There seem to be some chemistry issues there. Rob, I don't care what anyone says though. I am starting to believe that too, because the Golden State Warriors look like they have some flaws. They get the win on Sunday against the Houston Rockets. Wasn't easy though. They had to really kind of fight and scratch to get that win.
Yeah. And I agree with you. Like I said, they are vulnerable. I think each year, you know, they lose a little bit. So there's a chance there for someone else. But the thing is, there's just so much talent on that team that even, you know, with the holes, cause you know, any night, well, obviously Durant, you know, amazing, possibly the best player in the league right now.
Yep.
So, you know, you're probably, you know, going to get at least 35 from him. But if he's having an off night, you still got Steph, you still got Klay Thompson. So there's just, you know, between those three, you know, if one of them's off, you still basically have two superstars. So even though there are some holes, like I said, I can't see, you know, anybody really taking them down. And then especially, like I said, game one, it was a close one. And I feel like, you know, those are the games, you know, that you really need to take advantage of. Like Houston really needed that one. I mean, it was at home. You know, they didn't necessarily have to win that one.
Right.
It's a home game. But, you know, when it's close like that, I mean, you really, you know, you need to take advantage of those.
Well, and, you know, I looked at Houston in that game. They didn't shoot it particularly well. Obviously, you have the technical fouls. You have the meltdown by CP3 at the end. Otherwise, hey, that is a very different game. If you knock down a three, maybe two threes more than what you did, I don't know that Houston played their A game. I would say that they probably didn't. I know they got to be looking at that and saying, we left some opportunities out there.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you're right there. But like I said, that's the thing that, you know, worries me is, you know, you need those games when they're close because, like I said, on the other side of it, you know, Durant only had 35. I mean, still a lot, obviously 35,
right.
But I mean, nobody really went off. And so, you know, game two, you know, it might not be that close because, you know, like we just said, if, you know, one or two of those people are off, you know, that kind of gives you a chance. But I mean, if all of their hitting, you know, if everyone's hitting, you know, you don't have a chance at all.
There's something funky with this Warriors team, though, isn't there? Isn't there some kind of chemistry thing? They don't seem like it feels like there's a little bit of a cloud over that team. And like you said, I think they are still the team that is going to win it because you have to beat them four times. Mm-hmm. If it was a single elimination thing, that would be different. You got to beat them four times, but there's something weird about that team. I don't know if they don't like each other. I don't know if they're just kind of sick of each other. I don't know what it is, but there's something weird about them right now.
I agree. Yeah, I think it is a chemistry thing. And probably something to do with Draymond.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah. I think it's Draymond, him and, Kevin Durant. I think that clash, you know, it was publicized during the season. You know, they say everything's okay, but I feel like it's still a little bit lingering, there. And with that, you know, the division isn't just between those two because obviously everyone on the team is kind of taking sides. Like I said, it's not open in the front, but you know, you have people that are back in KD, you know, and people that, you know, might be back in, Draymond. And so, like I said, I think that's a kind of underlying issue that's there. You know, it's not prevalent. It's not open, but it's, you know, kind of in the background. And
sure.
And when these games, it's close and tight, you know, that's something that can, you know, eventually bubble up.
I think this series is going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot closer than maybe people think. I will say, I think the Warriors will win the series, but I am not completely sold on it. I think Houston can win this thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I think it'll go seven, the full seven. I think most of the games, be like Sunday's game where it's, you know, a couple possessions, yep. Right in, you know, into the fourth quarter. But yeah, I expect, you know, all of the games to go like this and especially the way, both teams shoot the three because, you know, they'll miss three, four, five. But then once somebody gets hot, you know, the points come in bunches. So it'll be a good series, I think.
Yeah, it should. You know, over on the other side of the West, we have an interesting series, and I guess we have to backtrack a little bit because the Denver Nuggets get their first Game 7 win. I think it was in 40 years. They beat the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday night. Hey, they tried to give that game away. The Spurs were just incapable of taking it. And by the way, we need to discuss this just real quick. End of the game. The Denver Nuggets are up by 4. So it's a two-possession game, if I am doing my math correctly. I was told there would be no math, but I think I have that right. Spurs guard DeMar DeRozan misses a shot. There's about 30 seconds left in the game. And then the Spurs don't foul. They just stand and watch the Nuggets dribble out the clock. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. The Nuggets dribble the clock down to like 3 seconds. They throw up a three, and then the Spurs get it, and they like you see like realization hit them, and they're like, oh, the game's over. That was the weirdest end I've ever seen. What were they doing?
Especially for an NBA game. I mean, you would think,
yes.
You know, maybe you could see that in college, but
middle school,
yeah.
Possibly elementary school. Yes, I would expect that there.
But yeah, NBA, like I said, you've got to know that. I mean, that's just, yeah, I don't know how that happened.
And it was so strange because Greg Popovich's team, if you would have said prior to this series, at the end of game 7, one of these two teams is going to have like a mind blowing brain fart. It's not going to be Greg Popovich's team. It's going to be the Nuggets, right? No, it's Popovich's team that has no idea what in the world they're doing. And then after the game, Pop said his team couldn't hear him calling for a foul. I don't even know my fourth grade rec teams knew how to foul in that situation. It's two possessions. There's only one possession left in clock time. You have to create more possessions. I was blown away by the whole thing.
Yeah, very clear. Like you said, you know, and regardless if they hear him or not, I just, you know, as an NBA player, especially veteran players,
yes.
You know, that you have out there, you've got to know that. I mean, that's
of the two teams, the Nuggets are the young team.
Right.
Right. Like yeah. The Spurs are a group of savvy veterans. Yes, they've got some youth here at certain spots, but they are the veteran team. They didn't understand they needed to foul. Blew my mind.
J.R. Smith wasn't even out there.
See, Now you bring up a good point, because imagine if JR had been out there, then you would explain it. You'd be like, oh, well, I mean, JR was
okay.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
We expected this. He's not on the floor. LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan did not have the wherewithal to say we may need to foul. You know, time and score. And I know, you know, if you're a youth coach or you're a parent or whatever, time and score is a concept in athletics that gets lost a lot of times, because there's so many times you say, okay, this might not make sense in any other time of the game, but depending on the time and score, if there's only 30 seconds, then we have to do this. It changes.
Right.
We don't teach that, apparently. And I thought NBA guys would know that. Of anyone, NBA guys are going to know that. No, they're not. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Okay, moving on from the idiotic end of that game. Yes, as a Nuggets fan, I was thrilled, but I was stunned by it. But now we will get the Denver Nuggets hosting the Portland Trailblazers in that other semifinal over in the West. Hey, Portland is playing really, really well right now. Damian Lillard playing out of his mind. They went through the Oklahoma City Thunder like they weren't even there. That was an easy series for them.
Yeah, and I like, I think I'm going to like Portland. I think I'll take Portland over the Nuggets. I think this will be a good series, though. Two talented teams. The Thunder was kind of a no-show, I felt like. I thought, yeah, you know, that series would be better. And primarily just Russ. Westbrook's shooting was just
so bad.
Couldn't get a shot off, yeah. But the Nuggets, probably more talented, I think, overall, the team. But like I said, the guard play from Portland, especially Lillard, I think that, you know, he might have enough to take them over the top.
Yeah, I think he may. And CJ McCollum has been playing. Mm-hmm. I know he's not 100%, but he's playing, and he's playing very, very well. It does sound like Enes Kanter is a little bit banged up. It sounds like he's got a separated shoulder. They don't know his status, whether or not he's going to be able to play in this series. It sounds like he's going to at least be out in the first few games. With Kanter out, Portland may struggle at times to defend Nikola Jokic, and I think that is where this could be a closer series than I think people are expecting. Because I know Denver's the two. I think everyone's looking at Denver saying, well, yeah, you're the two, but not really. I think Denver can give them some problems. Same thing. I don't know if they can win this series, though.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, you know, Denver is a good team. Like I said, I mean, they were the number two for a reason. Like I said, they'll be able to score. They'll be able to put up points. And if they can, they're going to have to build big leads, because if it's close, you know, coming into that fourth quarter, I just think Lillard, you know, is the one player on the court that can just really take over. Denver can, you know, build a lead, get out, you know, get out ahead and stay ahead. You know, they'll have a better chance. But if it's close in the fourth quarter, like I said, Lillard, I think, you know, is the one player on the floor that, you know, can just take over the game.
Yeah. And Portland, they don't have a ton of playoff experience, but they have more than Denver. Denver doesn't have any, and they just got their first win. And I know they were thrilled to do that, but it's a very different feel. That's a very inexperienced team. And their inexperience was honestly why that series with San Antonio went as long as it did. Because San Antonio, I don't think, is all that talented.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. By far, like I said, Denver was a more talented team. You know, basically had DeRozan and Aldridge, but, you know, top to bottom, like I said, Denver just way more talented.
Yeah. Moving over to the East, we are going to have the top seed Milwaukee Bucks facing the Boston Celtics. And I actually don't think that the Bucks have the firepower of the Celtics, but they are way more consistent. And Giannis is such a pain. My concern is that the Celtics just packed the paint defensively. And that's what we saw in game one, just dared Milwaukee to shoot. And Milwaukee was incapable of shooting it. Now, maybe they figure out some ways to get into the paint. Maybe you get someone to step up and knock down a few shots. The Celtics have a ton of depth, but I do think this is going to be an interesting series to watch, because I want to see what does Boston do when they see adversity. They haven't seen it yet this playoffs.
Yeah, I think you hit on it there. Firstly, you know, with the Bucks, I don't think they'll shoot that bad the rest of the series.
No, I don't either.
And like you said, with Giannis, I think they'll be able to make some adjustments to get him more involved, because, you know, this is all new for him too, the playoff runs with him. But I think they'll be able to make some adjustments. But yeah, like you said, with Boston, kind of like we touched on with Golden State, there's still kind of some underlying issues there with Kyrie and the other players. And like I said, if they get down in the series, I think that's, you know, there's a chemistry issue there. I think at some point in the series, you know, we'll come back to haunt them.
Yeah, I do too. And when I look at Milwaukee, if they were 100% healthy, I would have a lot more faith in them. They don't have everybody quite yet. We'll see if everybody gets back. But Boston on paper looks like the better team. You just never know whether or not to believe, you know, on paper, because, hey, like you said, they've got some chemistry issues. They got some weird things going on with Kyrie Irving. Why won't he just be quiet? Why won't he just stop talking? He always has to talk. He always has to step up and make this State of the Union address. I don't understand. Just be quiet. Just go play. You're a good player. You have a ton of teammates. But right now, Kyrie is not the MVP on that team. It is Al Horford.
Oh, yeah.
He is the guy.
Yeah. He's going to be the key to the series. Like I said, his, you know, defense on Giannis. he does a lot of little things that, you know, might not show up in the stats, but, you know, like you said, he really is going to be the key to this series. If he plays well, you know, they've got a really good chance.
Final series over in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors will try to do something that they have struggled to do for years as they are matching up with the Philadelphia 76ers in those Eastern Conference semifinals. I know that we're just used to Kyle Lowry and the Raptors just finding ways to lose series, like new and inventive and creative ways. They're going to find ways to lose series. But these are not those same Toronto Raptors. And if Sixers big man Joel Embiid, if he were fully healthy, I would look at Philadelphia and say, yeah, they might do it. But I don't know if he's ever fully healthy. And I'm starting to get concerned about that. Who do you like in Toronto versus Philly?
I'm going to take Toronto. Like you said, it's a different Toronto team, like I said, because Kawhi's there. And
yep,
he's consistent, you know, every game. You know, he kind of holds them together. And the same thing with Embiid. Like I said, I don't think he's going to play. You know, if it goes seven games, I don't think he's going to play all seven just with the injuries. And it's a lot of, you know, soreness and strains. So it's just overall healthy. Like, he's not going to be healthy this whole series. So, you know, when he's out there, you know, big mismatch, obviously a problem. But, you know, I don't think he's going to, you know, make it through every game of the series. And also, you know, coming back to the chemistry point, I think this team has issues with that, too, with Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
And they're still, you know, some chemistry issues as well, which, you know, once you hit adversity, you know, that's when those, you know, things really come to the surface.
Well, yeah, and it does kind of feel like, I don't know if Butler likes anyone, but it does kind of feel like when they come down to the end of the game, Butler's like, give me the ball. Embiid's like, give me the ball. Ben Simmons is like, well, give me the ball if I can get a layup. Otherwise, I don't want the ball. So you have a, you know, Tobias Harris, I'm sure, wants the ball. Like, you have a lot of guys going in different ways, and I think they're really struggling how to put that together. And I don't know if their head coach is doing a great job of getting everyone to buy in on the same page either.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's just a lot of big personalities, you know, all good players. You know, you can make a case for any one of those to get the, you know, any one of those players to get the ball.
Sure.
Get the ball in the last possession. You know, they don't have the guy. Like, you know, when we're down, this is who it's going to, because it's, you know, three or four of them that all want to be that guy. And like I said, I think that's going to be a problem.
Well, and for some reason, Ben Simmons really doesn't like playing against Kawhi. Like, Kawhi just eats him up every time they face each other. Simmons just turns the ball over constantly. Hey, Kawhi is going to be a guy that can totally dominate the series because he can take Ben Simmons completely out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, especially because to me, it seems like Simmons almost plays better when Embiid is not on the court.
Yep.
Which, like I said, you know, which could end up being the case. But then, like you just said, but, you know, if he's not on there, Simmons really can't be the man because Kawhi can shut him down. So, you know, I see the Raptors coming out of this series.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will be continuing this conversation with Big Rob, talking about a number of things. We have got to get to the NFL draft, though. Which teams made moves that are going to pay off for them? Which teams came up a little bit short? And which teams disappointed their fan bases once again? We have got a lot of things to talk with Big Rob this week. Going to be continuing that conversation tomorrow on the show. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Daily Dose wherever you listen, just make sure you click that little follow or subscribe button. You'll make sure you won't miss a single episode. And also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need in your life. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.